Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. In this week's programme, we're focusing on the month of prayer for vocations and what that means as a Christian. We hear from Catherine Nanskerville, Head of Discipleship and Vocation for the Archbishop's Council, Canon Vicky Johnson, Residentiary Canon at Ely Cathedral, and Dan Finn, Director of the Archbishop of York Youth Trust. But first, Kat Witham, Diocesan Youth Officer in the Diocese of Blackburn, has recorded a spoken word which looks at calling in our lives.
I am called. But what am I called? Why am I called? When am I called? Where am I called? How am I called? You may ask all these, but not who. For who supersedes who? And I am not called his, I just am. A daily sinner, yet daily saved. Growth granted by grace. So with whose as foundation, let's begin with what? Daughter, sister, friend, godmother, parishioner, community member, listener, interceder, encourager, truth speaker, disciple maker, diocesan officer. These are not titles that prefix or suffix my name or summarise the essence of me. They're services to which I strive, knowing if I can but be a slave, I'll be fully alive. Some of the what does not conform to my questions of why or why not. Roles that to me are contradictory, but to God are complementary. I know with him all things are possible, but they seem to me improbable, so the call is left waiting. Waiting for me to get humble rather than stumble in arrogance that the limitless creator of the universe can work through anyone but unruly yours truly. Waiting for me to get humble rather than stumble in fear, because he's calling me to love, and my love for them will cast out my fear for self.
And you can hear the full spoken word from Kat on our SoundCloud page. Next up, Catherine Nanskerville spoke to Ben Hollabon about why the month of prayer for vacations was taking place and how people should engage with it. Ben started by asking, what is vacation?
Vocation is about what God is calling us towards, individually and also communally. It can sometimes feel like vocation is used as a static thing, a fixed thing, a sort of a fixed state of being. That's my vocation. But really, it's a dynamic thing, a moving thing, questioning and following of the Spirit. We all have a vocation if we're present to our current context and being at the same time as searching for our future self in Christ. I think sometimes discerning vocation gets conceptualised as trying to hear a message from God that is not clear, like a conversation on a bad mobile signal. I know the train line on King's Cross, the first 20 minutes I can never get a good signal, and sometimes vocation can be a bit like that. You can think that I'm not hearing God and maybe he's not communicating with me, and could it be that God is really just a bad communicator, or are we just really bad listeners? But I don't think it's either of these. God is a co-creator with us. He brings us into being by naming us. And our vocation is to exist as ourselves, unique and named, the sort of core, complex and frustrating you. So discerning a vocation isn't about trying to hear a broken up message. I think it's about asking what's my deepest response of my life to the love of God? I think this is why it's hard work, and sometimes why it gets muddled up with this sort of broken mobile signal idea. It's hard and it's continual work to be sort of stripping away of our falsehoods and our idols. It takes time and it has struggles and challenges along the way. And just thinking, it reminds me, I've been married for 9 years in about 5 days' time. And as my husband and I journey along, we learn more about each other. And it's not that we were hiding anything before, but that kind of deep understanding and exploring and becoming is like a continual flower unfolding. And vocation is like that. It's the unfolding of our truest selves in Christ.
Why are we praying for vocations this month?
Well, all of this stripping away of our falsehoods and becoming ourselves in Christ sounds like a flourishing and renewed church to me. So I think it's part of the whole picture of renewal and reform in the Church of England. And we have to start with prayer. Starting anywhere else would be building on sand.
What does vocation have to do with particular roles or jobs?
We've talked about vocation very broadly and individuals having a vocation, but the church also has to continue to discern its vocation as a community. And our vocation is general. We have a vocation as the body of Christ, but it's also particular to a time and a place. What is the Church of England's deepest response to the love of God at this moment? The vocation of the church includes the structures and roles, and what we can see about the future is that this is going to have to be different. What the church discerns as its vocation meets with the individual's discernment of vocation. And where these two mesh, we have roles that the church licenses and authorises and supports. And key to this is ordained and lay ministry. And coming back to the future being different, because of the age profile of clergy, they're retiring much faster than we can currently replace them. We think the situation's the same for lay ministry, but we don't have a clear picture of this because the diocese quite rightly set their own structures for lay ministry. So we need a growth in vocation to all sorts of roles in the church and living out faith in the secular world, paid, unpaid, seen and unseen, temporary and lifelong. And because all of that starts with God, that understanding and that discerning of our individual vocation and the church's vocation and where they meet, that all starts with God. And so we have to start with prayer.
And what is it that you want people to do?
Pray. And pray for a flourishing of vocations. Pray for people you know, a neighbour, a colleague, a friend. Pray for the structures and the systems and the renewal and reform programme in the centre of the Church of England. Pray for your diocese, for the DDOs, the vocations officers and champions, and all those who are walking with people, spiritual directors, youth workers, children's workers, all those who walk with people as they discern their vocation, so that we see a flourishing of what we are called to be individually and as a community in Christ.
Dr. Vicky Johnson, residentary canon at Ely Cathedral, spoke with Martha Linden about her previous role as a cancer research scientist and what led her on to ordination. Martha began by asking her how she first got involved with scientific research.
Well, I read science at university, and after a research degree, I went on to work as a research scientist in a laboratory in Manchester, and that work was funded by Cancer Research UK, and I was looking at mechanisms involved in how cancer progresses at the very basic level. So there was lots of work looking down microscopes and putting things in test tubes and running experiments. So it was really proper science in a laboratory, wearing a white coat and goggles.
Did you enjoy your job?
I loved my job. It was a really fulfilling job. It was an environment where you can ask questions and you test theories and you're always pushing knowledge forward. So it was a fantastic field to work in, and I really loved that environment.
You've always been a Christian. Did you ever feel that there was any incompatibility between your Christian faith and your job as a research scientist?
That's a question I get asked a lot, not surprisingly, but actually I've never found that tension. I've always seen my Christian faith as something which kindled my interest in science, my interest in asking questions, for example. I think that came through my Christian faith. And in the end, I think my science led me to study theology. So for me, it's all been part of the same desire to know more about God and the world I believe God created.
I was going to ask you, how did you come to leave your job as a research scientist to go and train as a priest?
Well, my work in the laboratory, I actually felt that was my Christian vocation, and that's sort of why I went into that kind of work, cancer research. I felt I was fulfilling a Christian vocation to serve other people. As time went on, I think it just became clearer to me that it perhaps wasn't just the quite the right vocation that I was being called to, and that's when I started exploring ordination to the priesthood.
In your blog for the Church of England, you talk about how you ran science and faith discussion programmes in St Michael's in Flixton in the Diocese of Manchester, where you were a priest. I wondered if you could tell us a bit about what you did.
Well, we did all sorts of things, and really what I tried to do with enthusiasts from the congregation was to create events and opportunities for people to explore issues relating to science and religion. So we did have discussion groups and seminars and Bible studies, but we also had worship events. So we had a Science Sunday when the whole church explored scientific themes through worship and through the sermon slots. We also had a trip to a local observatory. So we did all sorts of things where questions were opened up and people could wonder about life and about the world. One of the most, I think, exciting things we did was a nature trail around the churchyard, and we invited children in to do bug hunts and leaf quizzes and wander around the churchyard exploring the flora and the fauna. And simple things like that can really open up discussions about science. So we just tried everything and anything, and I think it was really appreciated by everyone, and it gave people a sense that the church was a place where you could talk about science and the issues it raised.
Did these discussions and these activities attract in people from outside the church?
Most definitely. We had lots of interest from people beyond the church community. So we also worked with local schools, and sometimes I would go into schools to do discussions with groups. But we did find that lots of people were drawn in by these kinds of events and discussions. So that leads me to believe there's a hunger for this kind of discussion and debate, which I think the church can help with.
Why is it so important that these issues are discussed within congregations?
I think it's really important because I think the reality is lots of people in our congregations work in fields related to science and technology or science and medicine, and lots of people have an interest in scientific discoveries and what's going on in the world. I mean, in the last few weeks we've had Tim Peake in the space station, and that's something that we can be talking about and exploring in our church community. So there's something every day in the news or in the scientific world that's being discovered that I think the church needs to engage with, because it affects people's lives, whether that's medical treatments or new discoveries or technology that helps us live an easier life. All these things are important, and that's why I think the church needs to be discussing them.
You've also got plans for Ely Cathedral, where you're based now.
Yes, so now I'm based at Ely Cathedral, and all of these discussions are bubbling up again, and we want to become a cathedral where science is discussed and explored. So for 2017, we're planning a science festival here at Ely, where we'll explore the themes of science through art and music and discussion and lectures. And we're kind of doing what I was doing in the parish in a different way and on a different scale, really opening up the debate to lots of people and trying to say the church and the cathedral is a place where you can have these discussions and explore these issues.
You say in your blog too that discussing science and faith is a mission issue. Can you explain a bit more?
Yeah, I think I've come to think this for myself. I think if the church is truly a church for all people in all places, we also have to be a church which engages with issues that people are facing and questions that people are asking. And I think people are asking lots of questions about science. And sometimes I think science is presented as a stumbling block to faith. I certainly don't believe that. So I think the church needs to reach out to people and say, actually, we're interested in science as well, and we want to celebrate the discoveries, and also on occasion raise questions when ethical issues might be raised about scientific discovery. So I think we just need to be more open about the realities of 21st century living and be open to discussing it.
And what do you think of the Scientists in Congregations Award scheme?
I think this is a fantastic scheme to really celebrate all those people, scientists and non-scientists, who are interested in this area in our congregations, and encourage congregations to come up with some new ideas about how they can engage people with these discussions. So I think it's really good, a really good initiative, and I hope lots of people apply for the scheme and think up some new ideas.
Do you have to be a really high-powered scientist to get involved with the scientists in the congregations?
No, I think you just have to be someone with an enthusiasm for science and technology, and I think that will carry.
Finally this week, Dan Finn, who is director of the Archbishop of York Youth Trust, updates us on the new Lent campaign that has recently launched called 40 Days of Youth-Led Action.
So here at the Archbishop's Youth Trust, we are really excited to be launching a new Lent campaign called 40 Days of Youth-Led Action. When we think about Lent, traditionally people often give something up or make a sacrifice to try and focus on prayer and getting close to God, which is absolutely great. But we thought we'd turn that on its head, and instead of thinking about giving something up, see what we could do to give something back. So basically, during the campaign, we are encouraging young people to think about what they can do to give back to where they live, their communities, their families, to serve and to make a difference in other people's lives. So we've got a website, and every day during Lent, there's going to be a little challenge, just a small little fun little challenge for them to do to try and make someone else's life better. An act of kindness, we might call it. So they can log on, they can sign up. We've got schools involved, we've got youth groups involved. It's open to anybody. I say youth led. It is for young people, but actually anyone could do this. So if you're an adult and you want to join in, or if you're a kid you want to join in, then you should. It'll be absolutely brilliant. And what we're trying to do is get young people to share the amazing things they do on social media using the hashtag YTAction or our handle at ABY Youth Trust. And if you do that and share all the brilliant things that you do to change our world for the better, we will share them, we will shout about them. We're going to be putting videos on our website every week about the amazing things young people do to change our world. So to sign up for the Lent campaign or to find out more, log on to www.abyyt.com/40days.
Lent app is now available to download on iOS and Android devices, as well as being available as a free podcast each day over Lent. To hear each day's reflection, either sign up to the Daily Media Digest on the Church of England website, visit www.chpublishing.co.uk and click on the Reflections for Lent link in the menu, or subscribe to Dedicated Reflections for Lent podcast via iTunes. That's it for this week's podcast. Thanks for listening.